Welcome everyone to another Fresh Fiction Video Book Club. I'm Samantha T, and today's guest is Michelle Prince, author of over 60 different books and standalone titles across multiple series, right?
Yeah, I can call myself a serial whore. Because I never seem to, I try to do standalones like this. Obviously it was with a group project, but it was going to be a standalone, but we've decided we want to do a second season of them. So I'm just going to bring back those characters and follow the next inspiration that we had from this last writer's retreat. So we'll keep this going. And yes, it's going to turn into a series for me as per usual, I guess would be kind of.
We love series. We like being able to go back and revisit the different characters, even if sometimes it's a glimpse.
Yep.
I mean, I know. Is that the same comfort for you that you kind of built that world?
Kind of. And it's just, and there is also that the other characters are trying to, you know, ask questions and want things. This one will stay with this detective. But, you know, I kind of want to know what's going to happen to Ethel and Archie. I mean, and her crazy mother. I kind of want to know that. So it works out and it'll keep me in my murder area, I guess. So
we all need to have those types of areas. That's okay.
We do.
Well, Michelle, before we jump too far into this book, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you first get started writing?
Okay. Well, I live in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota. I actually got irritated with one book. Well, actually, I shouldn't say one book. It was a series. And I got irritated when I got to the end, near the end of it. And I was like, that was not satisfying. And then I realized I really have been writing on and off. I mean, technically, I did get something published when I was in high school. It's just a poem. You know, you send it in and you luck out and they publish it. But it was kind of like that lost dream that you don't think about because you're busy with your kid or whatever. And I just kind of, I had a story that just kind of overcame me, and I literally wrote the first book. I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating, I wasn't doing anything but writing that. Once I finally decided, you know what, I just want to try and see what happens. And that the first book was done, and then I kept going because the first book was actually supposed to be just like a little intro, and it ended up being a full length book. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. Because I was like, how many words are in a novel? And I Googled that and I'm like, oh, I'm way over that. So I guess this is going to be a series because, of course, it was supposed to be a single book and it turned into a series as per usual for me because I had to finish the story and figure out what's going to happen to them. And that's kind of how I got my start. And then I just started trying to figure, you know, querying and doing edits and querying and doing edits. And then my husband kind of said, you know, Stephen King just kept writing books and putting them to the side once he finished them until he got a publishing deal. And so that's kind of what I did. So by the time I got my publishing deal, I had that full series done. I was started on a second series. I was working on something else. And that's kind of what I've been doing ever since. So.
And where does the different inspiration, because your series crosses multiple genres. I mean, you have new adult, you have paranormal, contemporary, you have different sports books, which to me are always almost a separate genre in a way.
They are.
And now, of course, murdering elements. So what is it on each of these that inspire you or what is the decision process as to which you pursue?
Well, it's who's talking to me is the first thing. A lot of them, there's challenges. So please don't like say, hey, have you ever thought about, because I'll be like, no, I have a tattoo series. And I had a publisher that said, oh, you should do a tattoo series. I'm like, there is no way I'm doing a tattoo series. And that was all she said to me. And within 3 hours, I had already seen the characters meeting and how they, and I was like, well, I guess I'm writing a tattoo series now. With this one, I know everybody in the group is talking about Chalui. I'm going to say it wrong. He's actually the inspiration for this book originally, because I was at a book signing down. It was technically in Clearwater, I think, but I had time on, I had an extra day, and he has a exhibit or a permanent work. It's a permanent studio there. And it's meant for people to be trained by other people that have been trained by him. It's kind of how he keeps his legacy going. And then he also has the exhibit, and the person I was with, she's like, I really want to go see this. And I didn't even think about it that we actually have a giant sun in our Minneapolis Institute of Art. It's connected to our children's museum and they have our children's theater, and they have a gigantic piece that's been there for forever. And I always loved it when I went in there. And while I was there, part of going through the exhibit is you get a ticket to watch them work. And they talk about things and all that. And the people I was with, they were talking about how people with PTSD, a lot of them will work with this because it gives them that rush that they need from the danger, because it is very dangerous. It's 2200 degrees. I mean, you cremate somebody at about between 14 to 18,000, 1800. So it's dangerous. And it gives them that rush. And I was sitting there and the person next to me said, "You're writing a book, aren't you?" I'm like, "Ma'am, no, of course I'm not." But I seriously had notes started on that. And then I forced my writer friends to go blow glass with me a few years later. And this was a story that's been sitting there for a while. And I just knew it was going to come out eventually, but I needed that little push. And my writers group, we travel to different places. We did a castle. We did, we've gone all over the country. And I saw one. There was a place we could blow glass, and I'm like, we're gonna do that. I didn't blow the glass on this one because I made a paperweight, but that was an option. But I also knew I was flying home, and I'm a klutz, and I didn't want to break it. Only one of us was brave enough to actually blow it, because it was more the traveling. It wasn't that we were afraid of blowing it; we were just afraid of the travel. So we got a really great guy named Justin. He sat there. He was completely inappropriate about everything because he knew he was dealing with romance writers, and we were having way too much fun when he's talking about the glory hole and yeah, and all this stuff. And so we had a lot of fun, and we just all took it in a different direction, which is the coolest part, because there's six of us that did that. And all of our books are completely different genres. So it ended up being really cool because you're always inspired by something a little bit different than somebody else. And even though you're sitting there, you're learning the exact same thing. So that's where this came from. And
I think that's the other cool element. And I love the glass blowing aspect of it. This was one of my big regrets in college because they had a glass blowing course that you could have taken. And I just could not manage to fit it in because it was across the city. And with all my other courses, I just couldn't do it. So when I was able to take glass blowing class just locally, again, lots of inappropriate comments because all the blowing and the rolling and all these things, right? And glass tends to move in really weird directions sometimes.
It does. And check out Groupon, because I literally just bought a four a thing for me and my husband, because I'm like, I'm making him go. And then another friend of mine and her husband, and it was like not that expensive, and it was on Groupon, and it's at a place that'll let us do it. So I'm like, so check out there, because you can definitely get some classes in there.
Well,
So
and how did you tie it all together? So the glass blowing aspect, okay, that's a really cool idea. I get the initial inspiration while you were there, and I love how you're already formulating some of the elements. But then tie it with that this was such a needed outlet for vets with PTSD and how they were getting the thrill out of it, and then turning it into the Detective Lisa trying to solve the homicide of one of the vets. I mean, how did you start bringing in those other elements? Or did it instantly come to you as, oh no, I'm going to write more of a murder mystery?
well, I originally was more like going to be a romantic suspense. It was going to be something where I thought maybe it was going to be a romance with the people that, somehow they were getting together and somebody died and then they had to figure out who it was type deal. But I'm starting to write more mysteries and join like Sisters in Crime. And I was like, I want to see if I can do it without. There's always an element of romance in every book. I mean, there really is. Stephen King, even Stephen King, you have, Christine was in love with, her owner type deal. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. There's always, because you need that human connection. But I wanted to just try to write a straight mystery, and that was my challenge for it. And that's kind of what I wanted. I just wanted to try that. And I think it worked. It's a mystery. It's got a little bit of emotion in there, but I didn't want the whole th I wanted something separate. And it was a lot harder for me because I'm so used to doing romance and the plot points that you do, and you have the connection, and I had a little bit of that, but not a ton, because you can't get away from it. But I wanted something a little bit different for me. So
And that's what I wanted to ask too. I mean, did you find this to be a different process? Because you did have to hit different points, and was it all one right through, or did you have to go back and layer things in?
I definitely layered as I went, because it was it will and then I went back to make sure gotta go back and make sure you're connecting everything, and I was trying to make sure I was getting all those plot holes and having my red herrings, because those are I love listening to mysteries, I love reading mysteries, I love trying to figure it out. I love that people I love when people can't figure it out, like where there's a twist at the end, and that's what I wanted. I want it to be like the authors I like. Like I love William Landry's Defending Jacob. I really loved how that ended. I wish they would have done, I know they couldn't do it for the movie part, but everything up to there was almost exactly like the book. And I loved his twist at the end. So I was hoping to that I could pull it off and make it make sense. And it's just it's a different way of writing. And I wanted to stretch. I mean, I've been writing for over a decade now, and I mean, well, published for over a decade, writing for much longer than that, but I wanted to so try something different, and it is different because yeah, you don't have the points that you normally do in a romance.
And did you find it also different from when you were writing more of your paranormal versus your straight contemporary?
Yeah, paranormal gives me so much freedom. I like that because you're making up the world. It doesn't matter. I have some sci-fis that'll be coming out, and it's great because I'm building the planet, so I can do whatever I want. You have to, rules of, gravity and whatnot you have to deal with. But other than that, you're pretty much you can decide what you want their how their society is. So this does give me constraints because I don't want somebody that's in Denver to say, oh, that's not how Denver is. Kind of like I have a Steel MC in Montana, and it's in Montana. One of the best things I ever heard was somebody saying, oh my God, it sounds like I'm from Montana and this is exactly what it's like. And I'm like, great, I still have yet to go to Montana, so I'm doing my research well. Because I'm one of those ones that if somebody says something wrong, it'll throw me out of a book if I actually know the area. And since I put it in an actual city and I do know Denver and I do know the area. I've been there quite a few times, and my sister lives there, so gives me that background. But I don't want, it's kind of like I'll probably never write a story in New York because there's so many layers to that city, to all the boroughs and stuff. I'm like, there's no way as an outsider I could ever learn that. So.
And is it that the characters are coming to you first? And are they
Yeah.
fully formed, or is it more the plot line, or like you said, some of the settings and some of the research?
More the plot line. Research is my I'm a history major, so research is my big it's my good but bad thing, because I will go down that hole and then I'm gone forever just trying to learn new things. But because yeah, I love bringing in the realness of things, even if it is paranormal, because I like JR like Sherilyn Kenyon or J.R. Ward or any of them, when they put something in a real city and you're like, I wonder if that's really happening and we just don't see it. I love that element to it. And so yeah, research is a bad thing for me. I mean, it's good but bad thing. Sometimes I'm researching and that's how I end up with a new storyline. But yeah, it's usually the plot or the characters. It'll be just like a situation that'll come to me first, and then I have to build either the build up to it or build after it, just depends on where they come to me with what's going on in their life. So,
Well, and I knew that you were a history major, but you're not writing historical romance.
no, I've done
No,
one thing back
after all the
set in history
research.
that it would be a waste of my time, because I would probably spend more time researching than anything. I also am a little scared of historical. I love reading them, but I'm scared of them because I know how historical readers are, and they'd be like, that's not the right button from that time. I'm like, I died, So I'm not 100% ever going to say I'm never going to write it, because never was going to write a mystery either because I thought I couldn't build the elements that I wanted in the story. And then I started realizing I have a lot of dead people in my romances, and there's a lot of stalkers. So I guess I am writing mystery already. So that's what helped me. But I did write my fourth book in my Aberration series. She gets sent back in time. And that book took me longer to write, not because of the character, not because of what was going to happen to her. It was literally because I was like, wait, when did that book come out? Because I had to layer in the elements, and she was a big reader. And then I was like, wait, so she knows all the old, the new, the books that are considered classics, but they're brand new or not even out yet, you know, because she's sitting there talking about Narnia and she's like, wait, no, this is 19, you know, it was like 1920s. That's not out yet, you know. So it was one of those things where I'd love to do historical, but I am just too, I'm chicken. I'm not gonna lie, I'm chicken.
Well, we enjoy what you are putting out. So these aren't complaints. Okay. Don't get me wrong. Yes. Yeah. Now, I am also curious about your writing group. I always find it fascinating as to the dynamics with something like that. And especially like with Tempered Beats, right? Where you have this glass blowing, which is kind of the inspiration, and everyone's take has a different take on it. So how did that work with all of you? I mean, was it that, hey, we're going to kind of follow this and everybody kind of picks how they want to do it? Did y'all consult at different times, or what was the dynamic?
No, we were no, I'm a slave driver. I'm mean and no, so the writing group started from a prompt. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was somebody shared something about, oh, you and a group of friends could stay in this place for this much of night. And I'm like, well, I'll organize it. I don't have a problem with organizing it. And then I invite certain people because I want to make sure that they'll all mesh together. And I kind of live in two different worlds because I write interracial and I'm white. So I kind of live in two different writing worlds. And I wanted my worlds to come together because they actually are very similar. They just don't realize it because they tend to be separated. So that was part of my goal too, was to make sure that get everybody together. And I make sure that I have people, some my actually my one person that's been coming for three or 4 years now, I've known her for over a decade. She still hadn't put out a book. I kind of forced her to put out a book because she had to. I kind of said, yeah, we're going to do this and you're going to put out a book and you're going to finalize that book. So she's been coming to this writer's retreat that I put on. And I'm like, you're coming to the retreat, you're doing all this stuff, you're writing, you're doing stuff. We're going to publish this. And I said, I'll help you with all the stuff that goes with that. And then I have people that have agented and with the bigger presses, and I have everything in between because when we come together, we all have different backgrounds. Mine's in healthcare. I have lawyers, people with law degrees that come. I have people that know logistics as far as how you transport stuff. I have people that have a degree in dead languages, so they can sit there and they can show you how to make a language if you're doing a paranormal and you want the bases and how to do that. And it's just a wide variety of people. And I did say, as we're stuck in, I try to find us a remote place. So we flew into Phoenix, we did our glass blowing. And on the ride up, I'm like, okay, so you guys are trapped in the car with me for the next 2 hours or hour and 45 minutes or whatever it was. We're going to write a book, we're going to write a series, and here's how it's going. And you guys tell me, you know. And so, and as we do a field trip Friday where I arrange for us to learn things from different people. And so while I was driving around there, we kind of finalized all that too. So they had a few days to settle into it and decide what they were going to do. And everybody took it their own different direction. We had, you know, a woman's fiction book. We have a middle grade book that came out of it. And we have a vampire book and somebody who started a whole new series. So yeah, it was awesome. And then my sci-fi for my friend who was not refusing to, she wasn't refusing to put out her books, but she, or query or do any of that stuff. I'm like, nope, you're gonna do it. We're gonna get this done. So it's a great group of women. And this year we had 10 women and we went and we learned how to do some chocolatiering and some stuff like that. And then we also went and learned all about the history of tea and went to a tea garden where they showed us how they manufacture everything, how they grow everything. They talked about it. It was great. And so we've got our inspiration for our next one and we'll put it out before we go on the day, the week that we go on our retreat. We put it out on that Tuesday. So there'll be another set of the Getaway Chronicles coming out. So,
I love the pure variety
oh, yeah.
that's coming out of this.
Oh, yeah. Because we all write in different things, but we see it kind of like my Dari McCoy. She wrote one where the person would read the sparks off the glass. And she said she immediately got the idea. Well, one, while she was watching one of us do it, because she saw the sp a few sparks come off, and it came into it, the sparks tell you what your gift is. And so there's a guy who reads the glass to tell you what your gift is while he's making it in your presence. And nowhere near, I'm obviously slamming the thing through people's bodies and killing them, while other people are like, oh, this is this beautiful thing that was passed down from generations. And then the one who did the middle grade, it's a little girl who's thinks that it's magic, and she'll be able to trap brownies in it. You know, I mean, it's just, it was great.
Wow. And I think that's the awesome element out of all that. Here is essentially the same piece of inspiration. But not only do you get such a variety of stories, but I mean, just completely different approaches to have a women's fiction, middle grade, murders. I mean, you're kind of hitting all the different beats with that.
Yeah, and that's kind of the
The
nice
sky's the
thing.
limit.
Yeah, you can, it's good for, there's something for everybody. And even if you, and they're kind of the Harlequin serial length, so we kept them so they're shorter and they're quick. And you know, it's a nice way to test us out. And also, we have different reader bases, so you know what, and we all kind of said, you know, make sure to check out the other ones, you might find something you like, you never know. And I know the quality of what they write because I read all these women. And so I know that they write really good books. And outside of a few of us beta reading for each other, and that was just based on who wanted that. I mean, it wasn't something that we threw up in the group. It was just, hey, will you beta read this? I need, you know, I guess my sister to help me make sure that I'm feeling okay about it. So, and that's kind of what we did. So.
And that's the thing with our fresh fiction readers is that we're always after the good story. So we're not necessarily tied to certain genres, but man, if you tell a good story and you have good characters, we're going to follow you and check out these other books.
That's what we're hoping for.
But with that, I do want to flip over to our fresh fiction facts. And so these are some of our shorter questions off the top of your head. Sometimes we stump people. Not usually our intention, but let's give it a go on some of these, okay?
Okay.
And we'll start off with a fairly easy one. Who would you most want to be stuck in an elevator with? Living, dead, real, imaginary?
Laura Ingalls. Laura Ingalls Wilder. I don't know why I've always wanted to. And I don't know if I want like the character that was played or if I want the real one, but I've always just wanted to, like, even when I was younger, I wanted to pull her out of there and show her all the cool things in the world, but I also want to just talk to her. I don't know. And yeah, it's the Minnesota in me. I don't know. Maybe.
What is the motto that you live by?
Oh boy, a lot of them. Trying to think. Had so many mottos over the years. Well, my tagline for all my books is "Love doesn't color inside the lines." So I do, like, you know, just don't, you don't have to be perfect. You know, to have everything to make a good story or to have a good kid or anything like that. So just kind of, as long as there's love, it's not going to stay where it's supposed to. It's going to expand a little bit. So,
Okay, other than books, what is something that you own a ridiculous amount of?
cross stitch kits and cross stitch material.
But
Yeah,
not the finished actual cross stitch pieces, because that's me.
I have some that I've finished. Yeah, I have like really huge projects. I have really small projects. I have donated some that I've finished to raise money for at events. So you might get, you know, if you come to one of the events I'm at, you might end up getting a cross hand cross stitch thing. People are like, oh, you should sell the bookmarks. And no, because people don't want to pay that much if I actually figured out how much it was. But yes, no, I have an abnormal amount of, I have enough that between cross stitching and books, I'll be immortal because you can't leave it unfinished. So,
Course, yes. And that's where the cell phone has been a downfall for me because I
yes.
used to, in the evening, I would always do cross stitch while I was watching television. And now, instead of doing that, because I'm like you, I've got all these kits and materials, instead, I'm scrolling my cell phone.
Yeah, I'm usually playing a stupid game that I shouldn't be playing on there. But yeah, no, I've been cross stitching since I was younger, but I learned it as a calming technique when I had to watch my son when he was playing basketball at a younger age, so that I didn't yell at him or the other kids or the other parents or the refs or anything like that. And one time I did put down the cross stitch because I got so mad at a ref and I yelled something, and the people that had been around me all season were like, so this is why I cross stitch, because I yelled, I was mad at her. So, but yeah, it's my calming thing.
Well, maybe along those lines, you've been kidnapped, but they return you 2 hours later because you won't stop talking or doing what?
I just want to know what's happening. Like, how long is this going to take? I have stuff that I need to do. So, if you're going to hold me for ransom, let me tell you, I know how much it maybe he'll give you, but I'm not really sure if he's going to, because obviously, yeah, that would be it. I just need to know what's going to happen here. I don't have time for this. So that's pretty much what I would probably be doing. I would pull out my inner Karen and just go for it at full bore, because I keep her tamped down a lot. And the few times that she comes out, people are like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, no, I got it. I got her in there. I keep her. I don't bring her out very often, but if they're taking me away from something I need to do, I don't have time for that. So they need to tell me the agenda.
Have full rein and just
I just need the agenda and then I'll be fine. But and I'm sure I'd be annoying them. So, and probably having to go to the bathroom a lot. I'm pretty sure that's too.
what luxury item can you not live without?
I don't know if it's a luxury, but I have a kettle that's electric one. So, I mean, it for me, growing up, like a kettle was, like $10 and you just put it on the stove. But now I've got this one that I push the button and it heats everything up. And I mean, it's over $100. So I consider that, a luxury item that I can't live without is my kettle for my tea. Or sometimes I use it to heat it to do soup, but so I can pour it in the ramen noodles or the pho or whatever I'm eating at that day. So.
My dad laughs at me because I can program mine to if I want green tea, white tea, black tea.
See,
He's like,
you're gonna want our next
boiling.
series, because we learned all about the differences in the tea and how what's the difference between green tea, black tea, oolong. We learned all that. So, and we have one person who is a great note taker, and literally we had the guy on the bus. He's like, are you guys taking notes? I'm like, yes, we are. And she puts up all the notes. So she had all the notes from we learned about winery one time. Yeah, so she puts all the notes in our system so that we have it. So we've got all this information now. So
Well, I will say we're probably going to ask you some of these tea questions in our happy hour because we have a lot of fans always looking for new tea tips.
okay.
So,
I will do my
as a
best.
teaser for those people who are listening or to the podcast or watching it on YouTube, this is what they miss when they don't join us in person, right?
You learn random tea facts. Now you just have to buy all the books because you never know who's going to put what where. So.
Exactly. Yes. What is the most terrible movie that you legitimately enjoy? When everybody else complains about it, but you're like, I don't care. I love it, and I'll just watch it over and over.
I am such a bad person when it comes to watching movies over and over again. I'm trying to think of what my husband can't stand. See, what do people hate that I have no issue with? Well, I do like Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. I will watch that one multiple times. And that one got panned pretty bad. I like bad movies. I mean, oh wait, no, Iron Sky. Oh my God, I almost forgot about that one. Iron Sky. So, and then I found out there was a second one. I actually watched the first one first. Oh my God, worst movie. Okay, so it's all about these Nazis that live on the moon. and
Oh my
how
God.
the center of the earth has dinosaurs in. I mean, it is kitschy, horrible, totally B-rated. Oh my God, and I love it to death. I think I watched it when I just landed on it one time because they're like, yeah, these Nazis that left, and oh my God, it is the funniest thing. I mean, there's literally a scene where a girl does a windmill kick in and knocks out a T-Rex with it. I'm telling you, it is so bad, yet so good. It's just, that's a horrible movie. I shouldn't say I watched, but I actually went back and found the first one, and I'm like, oh, this makes sense. Now I know why they were worshiping Steve Jobs. This all makes sense now because I watched the first one, and I didn't watch the first one. I watched the second one first. So, second one's better though.
But you know, we're going to all go check this one out
Think
because
about
I admit,
trying.
not one I'm familiar with. And so anytime you hear about these kitschy type movies, it's like, okay,
Oh my
gotta
God,
just go see.
it's Sharknado level type stupidity. And it's on Prime, I think, or it was when I first watched it. So yeah, Iron Sky, and it's all about, yeah, this, it's just hilarious.
Well, along those lines, though, what is your most dog-eared or reread book?
Summer Sisters. Every time by Judy Blume, anytime that I hit like two or three bad books from, I just, you kind of, I'm DNFing books, I immediately go reread Summer Sisters, get something new out of it, and go, and then I can start. It's kind of like a reset button for me. So, yeah, and actually, they just put out a new cover for it, and so I went ahead and Judy Blume is one of my last authors that I need to meet, that is on my list of ones I want to meet. And so I had her sign, I ordered it for with her signing it. So it's like, gotta have a new copy anyway. So, but yeah, that's my go-to reset. Yeah, I think
Wow.
it's Iron Sky. I don't know. It be bad here. Look here. 'Cause, I mean, I'd hate to tell you the wrong bad movie.
The wrong bad movie.
The wrong bad movie, that's so dang good. I don't know why I like it anyway. Anyway, but yes. So yeah, Summer Sisters by, if you haven't read it, by Judy Blume, it is just it's great because it goes from when she's young all the way through, and I love it. There we go.
What is the next book that our reader should be looking out for from you?
Well, in May I have Divine Embrace, and it's part of a series, but this is it's a group effort thing. We all have kids that at least our hero or heroine has to have gone to this little shepherd's camp. So it's all about preacher's kids. So at least our hero or our heroine or both are preacher's kids, and a little bit of the a little bit of the craziness that goes on with preacher's kids, and then, but it's spicy romance. So don't think just because we got the preacher's kids, or if you know a preacher kid, you understand why it's spicy romance. So
That's what I was just thinking, yes. And where is going to be the best way for our readers to stay up with you and find out and look for the details on that?
well, if they're not already following me on Fresh Fiction. The other option, I always tell everybody, Amazon, it's a love hate. You don't have to buy the book on Amazon, but if you follow an author on Amazon, they will let you know every time they drop something new. So I always say, just hit that follow button if it's somebody that you want to one click, or somebody you want to see what's new coming out. Otherwise, I do have a newsletter. If you go to my website, as you can see, my name was spelled wrong by my parents because I was born before spell check, but it's just michelleprincebooks.com, and you can follow in my newsletter. Thankfully, I have somebody who is like, come on, it's time for your newsletter, and she puts it out for me. But what do you want in there? So it actually does go out once a month now. It was going out once every like 4 years or something, but she's making me have to put it out. One nice thing is there's always a behind the covers there, and there's a behind the covers on my website. So, and we change that up every month in the newsletter. It's just like, it might be a scene, it might be the one in it might be a whole chapter if you're on the website. So that's a nice place to kind of peruse and see, hey, do I like this? And if you don't like that book, wait till the next month, there'll be a different one. You might get hooked on that one.
Fantastic. Well, Michelle, thanks so much for joining us tonight, but stick around for the happy hour with our readers.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.